Time now for your comments. Listeners responded to my interview with Dr. Nicholas Christakis, who is co-author of a University of Chicago study that found doctors often give terminally ill patients an exaggerated estimate of how long they have left to live. Amy Ford Connor of Portland, Oregon wrote, "As a hospice nurse, it has long been my experience that inaccurate prognoses are almost epidemic due to physician reluctance to disclose their real judgment of the situation. When my own mother was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer last October, she was given a prognosis of 12 months. I knew very well that there was no way she would survive that long, and I arranged for hospice services to begin right away. She lived only 4 months. Had I not been so proactive, my entire family would have suffered immeasurably." Barbara Coombs Lee of the Compassion in Dying Foundation had this to say.
Medical ethics say that doctors owe their patients both beneficence, which is the determination and action in the patient's interest, and autonomy, or the opportunity for patients to exercise self-determination. Doctors who fib to their patients about their prognosis are not bad people, but they practice beneficence at the expense of autonomy. The emphasis is all wrong. Patients deserve to decide the best course of action for themselves. Autonomy should trump beneficence so that individuals can plan the end of their lives consistent with the beliefs and the values that they've lived by.
Listeners responded to Madeline Brand's story on Tristan Kading, a 15-year-old from Connecticut who spoke out against McDonald's at a school job fair where McDonald's was the only company present. Tristan later was forced to apologize. Rick Krufczewski of Cincinnati wrote, "This is less about First Amendment freedoms than about civility and common courtesy. Unfortunately, the student is reflective of the current state of political discourse in America. He used a mock job interview to publicly tell the McDonald's representative that I hate McDonald's. His statement tells us little about McDonald's, but much about himself. His self-righteous, in-your-face approach is common among today's protesters. When the school required him to write an apology to the McDonald's representative and make a public apology, his mother said she was surprised by the punishment. Really? It does not appear that this student will receive the lesson in civility that all parents owe their children." William Angel writes, "A high school forces its students to attend an assembly where they serve as fodder for a McDonald's recruiting drive. A student gets punished for exposing this charade, while the principal spouts moralisms about work ethic and responsibility, and the students get a good lesson in power and democracy. Who said the 60s were dead?" Send your comments to Morning Edition Letters, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001. Or call the listener comment line at 202-842-5044. The email address is morning@npr.org.